Hello listeners, it's another episode of the Conscious Nigeria podcast, a podcast where Nigerians tell Nigeria's stories. My name is Nathan, I am a software engineer and an upcoming podcaster. Today we return to our documentary-styled delivery where we expatiate on elements of our history and how they influence present-day happenings. If you are listening for the first time, it's nice to have you here. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. We bring this Nigerian goodness to you fortnightly. That is every 2 weeks. Today, we would like to explore the Almajiranchi system of education in Northern Nigeria. And I'm not alone. I'm joined by my colleague, Nelson.
Hello, listeners. My name is Nelson, and I'm an environmental scientist and also a conscious Nigerian. So we've chosen a topic which at the moment is one of the major subjects of debate and controversy and also misrepresentation in Nigeria. It's the Almajiri system. We would like to explore the Almajiri system from a historical standpoint to enable us to put things into the right perspective. We would also like to ask and answer questions as to what really is Almajiranchi or Almajiri as it's popularly called.
I would first acknowledge what some people imagine when they hear the word Almajiri. Some people think Almajiris are beggars or children who scavenge for food or recyclable materials in Northern Nigeria. To others, an Almajiri is just a homeless kid on the street, while some people even see them as foot soldiers for radical groups. So to understand the Almajiri system, I'm going to tell a story. It's the story of a boy called Al Hassan. And probably he will be the most popular Almajiri you'll ever hear of. Al Hassan was born in the Kano Emirate in 1877. Unfortunately, his father died when he was only 8 years old. His mother had to move to Accra and left him and his siblings in the care of a slave woman named Tata. Then his new foster mom, which was the slave woman, sent him to an Almajiri school in the community where they lived. And as is a norm, then he was trained in Islamic knowledge, some life skills, trade, amongst other things. When he was 17, he visited his mom in Accra and spent about 1 to 2 years there, enrolled in another Almajiri school. He returned to Kano and, together with his foster mom, went into thrifting. So basically, they bought stuff cheaply and tried to flip them for more cash. By 1906, due to British imperialism, trade routes were opening up in West Africa, and Al Hassan established himself as a businessman, moving goods via steamships from Lagos to Accra. At the time of his death, Al Hassan was the richest man in West Africa. Yeah, I imagine everyone today has heard of Aliko Dangote, the richest man in Africa. Al Hassan was his great-grandfather. He proved that there's a lot of good in the Almajiri education system, regardless of the misconceptions people have today. Nelson, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of ill perception of the Almajiri education system out there. Even the UNICEF, it's not left out. In its Nigeria program document for 2014 to 2007, it described our Almajiris as children who live or work on the streets. So nonetheless, we intend to educate our listeners in today's podcast on the origin of the Almajiri system, how the system has evolved over time to this present day, and how it can be reformed to meet the demands of the 21st century.
Yeah, I think a great place to start would be defining what really is Almajiranchi or the Almajiri system. Don't you think so?
I think so. And to fully understand the Almajiri education system before it became what it is today, we have to go back in time, way back to the 11th century, following the conversion of Borno to Islam during the reign of Mai Umejilmi.
That's what we do, right? Yeah. Go back in time. Yeah.
Anyways, Almajiri is a house of word derived from the Arabic word al-muhajirun. It loosely translates to someone who leaves home in search of knowledge. So acquiring knowledge in those days was not bliss, anyways, as there were limited scholars to transfer knowledge.
Dude, those were hard times. They could not just Google stuff.
Yeah, we're lucky to be in the Google age. So thank God for the internet. But people had to leave the comfort of their homes to different parts of the country just to access education. And that was how Arabic education got propagated.
Yeah, I think we should point out here that this Arabic education we're talking about was not just religious, but it also included trade, science, politics, and
Yeah,
other subjects.
that's true because Arabic education was the source of civilization in northern Nigeria. And at the time, Borno Empire was the center of Arabic knowledge and scholarship. So the likes of scholars and great thinkers like Sheikh Abdullahi Suki Al-Fulani, Al-Bagwi, Sheikh As-Zabak, Sheikh Umar Muhammad Abu Bakar, and others, these were all men of fine intellect and understanding. So they were all products of the Al-Majiri system.
I don't know these people, but the way you call their names, it sounds like they must have been, or they must have been quite successful. Yeah.
Actually, they were. And more popularly, Sheikh Ahmad Futwa was the chief imam of Borno, and he was the historian at the time.
Okay, great. So today I just learned that historically the Al-Majiri system was like a foolproof high reward education system that brought civilization to northern Nigeria. So what went wrong along the way?
Well, I think things began to change following the proclamation of Northern Nigeria as a British protectorate in 1899 and the eventual takeover in 1903. So the British, they changed the socio-political order of Northern Nigeria, and everyone had to be educated in the Western fashion to conform to this new order. So the language of scholarship moved from Arabic to English, and subsequently, literacy completely changed and was redefined in northern Nigeria. So, those that were educated under the old Arabic system became illiterate according to this new Western fashion social political order. So, as time went on, government support and funding for the Al-Majiranchi education system started to drop until it eventually stopped. And Western education became prioritized. So from that time on, the Al-Majiri system of education has been left unfunded, it's been left uncontrolled by the state and federal government. So with some of the people in northern Nigeria bent on preserving their religious and cultural heritage as they should, individuals and Islamic bodies have also continued to promote Al-Majiranchi education. So this private support has been largely insufficient anyways, or allegedly it's been used as a tool to control the minds of these young unassuming students in the interest of their patron. So as the saying goes anyways, he who pays the piper dictates the tune. Sheikh Abdullahi Garangamawa, the chief imam of the Jafar Adam Mosque in Kano, he gave an interview recently with BBC and he decried the abuse of the Al-Majiri system. He said that the Al-Majiri system, as it is today, is nothing but slavery, and government should stop dragging their feet and act fast. Those were his words. And he further narrated that boys who were sent from the village no longer seek Islamic knowledge. Many of them become criminals and thugs to politicians.
Yeah, there's even a UNICEF report published in 2014. I would add the link to the show notes. It estimated that there are about 9.5 million Al-Majiri children in Nigeria.
Wow.
Yeah, this number must have increased accordingly, given Nigeria's rising population growth rate. Imagine 9.5 million vulnerable children on the streets. That's a time bomb waiting to explode if serious attention is not given to their education and well-being. Because anything left unchecked is likely to produce an undesirable outcome.
And as a fact, some have actually called for the abolishment of this system. But I mean, what I think is the system requires a reformation as opposed to an abolishment, just to save it from further deterioration and make its products more resourceful, especially to the 21st century society. So, no matter how well intentioned the views of these abolitionists of the Al-Majiri system might be, we should not forget that the Almajiri system is central to the Northern Nigerian socio-cultural identity. So the personal realities of the abolitionists might not be the same as the realities of the parents who send their kids away to be educated by malams in the traditional way. But we need to acknowledge the realities of the participants by developing an educational system that I think would reflect their identity.
Yeah, speaking about educational systems, right? So just permit me to liken the Almajiri system to the boarding house school system, where parents send their kids out to live and learn in school. The only difference I think here is that the school has the requisite resources to take care of those students, either in form of a government budget for state and federal schools, or from the fees paid by the parents in private institutions. So how do we provide malams with the policies and resources required to cater to the needs of their students?
You know, Nathan, it's a good question, but I think that the first step towards a lasting solution is probably to change our perception towards Almajiri. I mean, we should start by seeing these Almajiri as Nigerians and not just Almajiri, because they are, in fact, one of us. So not just as foot soldiers of radical groups, but as victims of a failed education system. So after then, we can probably talk about mainstreaming and integrating the Almajiri system into Nigeria's formal education curriculum in a way that enables Muslim students to acquire both Quranic and secular education as well. So I believe this combination is crucial to ensuring that products of this blend of education develops not only useful knowledge for spiritual well-being, but as well, economically useful skills for the 21st century.
Thanks, Nelson. Today we've learned that the Almajiri system began as a form of knowledge transfer from educated malams to younger people. So they were taught about things like religion, so the Islamic religion. They also learned about science, they learned about trade and commerce. And from the story, we saw that products of this system could be really successful in modern society, just like Al Hassan. Yeah. So this is where we'll come to an end for our broadcast today. Join us in 2 weeks' time for another episode of Conscious Nigeria. Please don't forget to share the link to this podcast to your friends, family, and other Nigerians. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can follow us on our social media platforms. We are on Instagram and on Twitter at @conscious_ng. That's conscious_ng. You can also find us on Facebook at Conscious Nigeria. And you can find us on Naira Land at Conscious NG. Bye.